Chapter 6. Sabrina and Daphne followed their grandmother into their bedroom. She said nothing, only pointed at the bed. It spoke volumes, and the girls crawled in.
"Did Uncle Jake really kill Grandpa?"
Daphne asked, but the old woman just shook her head. Sabrina wasn't sure if the old woman was saying no to the question or just didn't want to talk about it.
"I think Uncle Jake is right," Sabrina said. "When are you going to teach us how to use the magic in the Hall of Wonders?"
The old woman cringed slightly, as if the question physically hurt her.
"We have plenty of time for that," she said. "We don't have any time at all," Sabrina said. "Uncle Jake and I discovered Red Riding Hood's plan. She's trying to rebuild her lost family. She's got Mom and Dad and some poor family's baby. Now, she's coming after you."
Daphne gasped.
"Is that true?"
"That's not going to happen," the old woman said, as she pulled the covers over the girls. "Nothing bad is going to happen to me."
"Can you guarantee that?" Sabrina said. "Because if you can't, the two of us would be left alone in this town, and you saw how angry everyone got at the school. If something did happen to you, would the two of us be able to protect ourselves?"
"Sabrina, stop!" Daphne demanded.
Sabrina's angry words rang in her own ears. It had been a heartless thing to say to her grandmother. She wished she could take it back. The old woman looked stunned for a moment, and then turned and exited the room without even a good night.
"You know what? I have a question, Sabrina," Daphne said. "When are you going to stop acting like such a snot?" "Daphne, you didn't see Red Riding Hood or the Jabberwocky," Sabrina grumbled. "I did, and Granny needs to take this seriously."
Daphne crossed her arms and huffed, then turned her back on her sister. She pulled the pillow from underneath her and put it over her head to block out Sabrina's voice. The next morning, Sabrina woke early in hopes of having some time alone with Uncle Jake. Maybe they could go through the journals and look for any information about Red Riding Hood and the Jabberwocky she might have missed. Unfortunately, he was gone when Sabrina got downstairs. Instead, she found Granny Relda parked in her chair at the dining room table, sipping tea and writing in her own journal of fairy tale accounts. When she saw Sabrina, she smiled, as if the previous night's argument hadn't even occurred.
"I called the pharmacy to find out if there was anything we can do about the marker on your face," the old woman said. "Unfortunately, it looks as if only time will help. They assured me it will fade in a couple of days."
Sabrina scowled. "A couple of days.
What do you want for breakfast? I'll make you anything you want," the old woman said.
But before Sabrina could answer, Uncle Jake burst into the house and set a bright pink donut box on the table. "I brought breakfast," he said, as he walked around the table and planted a big kiss on his mother's cheek. "Hello, beautiful." The old woman tried to keep a serious face, but Sabrina could see Uncle Jake's charm was working on her. Soon she surrendered a grin.
"Jake, the children need something healthy in the morning."
"What the girls need is to try these. I waited outside the baker's shop for an hour to get them. He makes his donuts in the middle of the night, and if you're there when he opens the shop at 5 a.m., you can get them while they're fresh and hot. You should have seen the line. It was around the block. Even the butcher and the candlestick maker were there, and those three can't stand one another."
"Being lost at sea in an old tub can strain a friendship," Granny explained.
She reached in and took out a glazed donut. When she took a bite, a huge smile came to her face.
"Oh, these are heaven."
"I know," Uncle Jake said with a laugh. "I already had 7. I'm as hyper as a 3-year-old, so I hiked up to the top of Mount Taurus. Sabrina, you have to go up there with me sometime. From the top, you can see the whole town."
"I was up there last week running from the Jabberwocky," Sabrina said sarcastically.
"Not quite the experience I had, huh?
I had forgotten how beautiful Fairyport Landing is in winter. Yeah, all 4 blocks of it, Sabrina thought. Daphne and Elvis entered the dining room. I smell donuts, Daphne said. Elvis's tongue was hanging out and dripping drool on the floor. Help yourself, Uncle Jake said, opening the lid of the box. Daphne reached inside and took 2 donuts. 2? Uncle Jake said with a grin. One's for Elvis, the little girl explained, tossing one into the air. The Great Dane leaped up and snatched it in mid-flight. Sabrina wondered if he even tasted it before he swallowed it whole. Daphne bit into hers first and sank into her chair in a dreamlike state. Oh, my gosh, she mumbled with her mouth full. Sabrina, Uncle Jake said, offering her a donut. She reached in and took one. They were warm and sticky. She took a bite and couldn't believe how delicious they were. It was like biting into pure happiness. It was all sugar and butter and love. Good, huh? Jake said with a wink. Sabrina nodded, afraid that if she opened her mouth to talk, some of the experience might escape. Mom, I got to thinking. You said yesterday that you and the girls have been pretty busy since they arrived. That's a real shame. This town has a few interesting spots, and I bet the girls would love to see some of the places where their dad and I used to hang out, Uncle Jake said. You mean the places you two used to get into trouble? She said knowingly. Exactly. He leaned over and kissed the old woman on the cheek again. It'll be fun. Granny nodded reluctantly. Great, Uncle Jake said. He scooped up the pink box of donuts and raced out of the room. I'm going to make sure Mirror gets one of these. Just then there was a knock at the door. Who could that be this early in the morning? Granny wondered aloud. Sabrina shrugged and went to the door. When she opened it, she was so surprised she nearly fell over. It was Mayor Charming. Snow White stepped out from behind him, followed by his personal assistant, Mr. Seven, who was wearing the biggest grin she had ever seen.
Good morning, Sabrina. Is everyone home? Snow White asked. Billy has something he'd like to say to your family.
The mayor looked annoyed.
Well, Captain, permission to come aboard, he said sarcastically.
Sabrina scowled and prepared to slam the door in his face when Granny came up behind her and invited everyone inside.
Relda, I know it's early, but I wanted to make sure you and the kids were okay after what happened yesterday,
Ms. White said.
Oh, no harm done,
Granny said, flashing the mayor a disappointed look.
Billy also has something important he wants to say to you and your family, the pretty teacher added. But first, he has to get ready. Mr. Seven, if you would be so kind.
The little man reached into his jacket pocket and took out a small wad of paper. He unfolded it quickly and handed it to the mayor. Charming stared down at it with a scowl. Sabrina recognized it at once. It was a paper hat with the words, I am an idiot, written on it in big black letters. The mayor often forced Mr. Seven to wear it.
Do I have to?
Charming groaned.
Billy Charming, Ms. White scolded. You promised.
The mayor scowled and set the hat squarely on his head. Sabrina couldn't help but laugh, not so much at Charming's humiliation, but at the triumphant satisfaction on the face of his diminutive sidekick, Mr. Seven. The dwarf looked as if he had just won the lottery.
I'm sorry, Charming whispered.
I don't think they heard you,
Snow White said.
Well, then they all need hearing aids,
Charming snapped.
Billy, you said you would do the right thing, and if you don't, I will never speak to you again,
Ms. White threatened.
And you know I mean it. We went a few 100 years without saying even a word to each other.
Mr. Seven stood off to the side, snickering, until Charming shot him a nasty look. The little man straightened up,
but went back to giggling as soon as the mayor turned his attention to the Grimms. Charming sighed, and his broad shoulders and chest seemed to deflate right before Sabrina's eyes.
"I'm sorry I turned on your family at the naming ceremony yesterday."
Sabrina was stunned. Charming had never apologized for anything, as far as she knew, and she had 200 years of family journals to prove it. She realized just how much power Snow White had over the mayor.
"But you have to understand this family is like a cancer that is threatening to eat me alive," Charming continued.
Ms. White gasped.
"Don't sugarcoat it, Mayor. Tell us how you really feel," Sabrina grumbled.
"It's the election this weekend. I didn't expect to have an opponent this year. If the Queen wasn't running, the only thing your presence would have given me was indigestion. But now that I might lose my job, the last thing I need is for the voters to start thinking that I'm aligned with the Grimms. There's no time for damage control like that. I hardly have time to buy the votes I need and hire people to stuff ballot boxes."
Ms. White's eyes flared with anger. The look was not lost on the mayor.
"I mean, get my message of hope out to the community," he finished.
"And the last thing you need is to look like you're buddy-buddy with a bunch of lowlifes like us,"
Sabrina replied sarcastically.
"See, Snow? The child understands,"
Charming cried happily.
"This hasn't been a good year for the town. The giant caused millions in property damage, and replacing the school cost millions more. Ferryport Landing is flat broke. People are starting to think a change would be good. And trust me, the last thing you want is Mayor Hart running this town."
"I absolutely agree," Granny said. "If being anti-Grim keeps you in office, then do what you have to do." "Relda, I can't believe you," Snow White said with disappointment. "Do you know how hard it was to get him to apologize? And here you are encouraging the bad behavior."
Just then, Uncle Jake came down the steps. "Ms. White, is that you?" he said, grinning from ear to ear. Snow White looked at the young man with a curious expression.
"I'm sorry. Have we met?"
"Ms. White, it's me, Jake Grimm. I was in your second grade class. My brother Henry was a year ahead of me."
"Your brother Henry?" Charming roared. "Relda, you never told me you had another son."
Uncle Jake looked at his mother suspiciously.
"Oh, I'm sure I mentioned it to you both,"
Granny said, ushering the visitors to the door.
"Well, it was nice of you to drop by. We've got a busy day ahead of us. Good luck with the campaign, Mayor Charming."
"Every time I turn around, there's another Grimm," Charming complained. "They're like cockroaches. This town is infested."
"William Charming,"
Snow White roared angrily as Granny closed the door in their faces. "What did you do?" Uncle Jake said.
"I'm sure I don't know what you mean," Granny said to her son as she turned and went back to the dining room.
He chased after her. "Mom, Hampstead doesn't remember me, and he caught me and Hank skipping school probably 1,000 times. Snow White doesn't remember me, even though I wrote her a love letter every day until I turned 18. Charming doesn't remember me, even though he threatened to have me arrested and had my face put on wanted posters all over town."
"People forget things, Jake," Granny said. "It has been 12 years.
"Mom, I'm not bragging when I say this, but let's be honest. I'm pretty hard to forget." Granny Relda looked around the room. Everyone was staring at her. Even Elvis cocked a curious eyebrow. The old woman shuffled her feet and stammered a bit until she finally decided what to say.
"They don't remember you because I had the whole town sprayed with forgetful dust."
"You what?" Uncle Jake cried.
"Then everyone found out what you did. There was chaos in the streets,"
Granny Relda said as she cleaned up donut crumbs.
"There was a mob outside my door for 2 weeks. People were getting hurt.
It had to be done.
What did you do?
The girls asked Uncle Jake.
Their uncle ignored their question.
So, everyone has forgotten about me?
Not everyone, Granny continued. Mira and Mr. Canis remember you.
Mom, Mr. Canis is dead, Uncle Jake reminded her.
Granny flinched, but then regained her composure.
And Baba Yaga, of course,
the old woman continued.
Baba Yaga, well, that's just great. A mentally deranged cannibal who collects human bones still remembers me. How did I get so lucky?
Uncle Jake left the room, snatched his overcoat from the hall closet, and opened the front door.
Where are you going?
Granny Relda asked.
To warm up the car, he called. Get your coats, girls, and try not to forget all about me before you get outside.
He stomped out and slammed the door behind him. The girls stared at their grandmother, but she wouldn't meet their eyes.
Puck snuck in late last night. Sabrina, run up and invite him along. I'm sure he's feeling a bit left out.
Sabrina wanted to know more about what her Uncle Jake had done, but Granny Relda had an increasingly familiar expression on her face. The old woman didn't want to talk.
The last person in the world whom Sabrina wanted to invite anywhere was Puck. She reluctantly climbed the steps and knocked on his door several times, but there was no answer. She pushed it open and inspected the ground for catapults, bear traps, secret levers, and stink bombs. The coast seemed clear, so she stepped inside. She called out for the prankster, but there was no response. After a couple more shouts, she decided to give up. Just then, there was a pop! A stream of fire and smoke rose high into the sky and exploded into 1,000 multicolored lights, followed by an ear-shaking boom! Moments later, another trail of smoke whistled into the sky. The fireworks seemed to be coming from over a hill beyond the lagoon. The path up the hill was littered with broken toys and melted army men, shattered marbles, stretched-out slinkies, and the heads of some hungry, hungry hippos were scattered everywhere. At the end of the path was a clearing, where Sabrina found Puck sitting on a jewel-encrusted throne, wearing his military medals. His chimpanzee army crowded around him, all reaching for a box of matches Puck held in his hands as the boy lectured them on the art of war.
"Johnson, step up here," he said.
One of the chimps stepped out of the crowd and approached the boy.
"Johnson, the enemy is everywhere. You might even have to kill one of your own men if you were to discover that they were sympathetic to the enemy's cause. Could you take out your best friend if you had to?"
The chimp smiled widely, nodded, and clapped his hands.
"Johnson, you're a good soldier," Puck said.
He lit a match and handed it to the furry creature. The lucky chimp raced over to a collection of fireworks of all shapes and sizes. Johnson lit the biggest red and white striped rocket of the bunch and screamed with glee as it whistled into the air and exploded in the sky. When the lights and noise were gone, the chimps hopped up and down in front of Puck and begged to be the recipient of the next match.
"Sullivan, front and center!" Puck commanded. "Tell me the first rule of war."
The monkey screamed and stomped its feet.
"That's right, Sullivan. Kill or be killed,"
Puck replied, handing him a match. Soon another rocket was flying overhead.
"What do you want?" Puck said when he spotted Sabrina.
"Somebody's in a bad mood," she taunted, stepping over several expired bottle rockets. "I'm not in a bad mood," Puck said. "I'm busy turning these maggots into fighting machines."
The chimpanzees turned to him, baring teeth and screaming impatiently for another match. Puck's head suddenly morphed into that of a chimp as well, and he hissed and spit at them. The chimps quieted and then went right back to begging for matches.
"The only thing keeping you busy is your pouting," Sabrina remarked.
"I'm not pouting."
"Well, something's wrong. There are donuts in the dining room.
Normally, you'd have already wolfed them all down and finished by licking the box.
Who cares about donuts? I don't even like donuts, Puck said.
You like everything. I've seen you eat Elvis's kibble right out of his bowl. There was a long pause.
Are they glazed? He asked.
Yes. Uncle Jake bought them, Sabrina said.
I don't want anything from him.
Why don't you like him?
He's hogging the old lady, just 'cause he's her real son, Puck replied.
She hasn't seen him in 12 years, Puck, Sabrina explained.
Why do you care, anyway? I don't.
Good.
Good.
There was a long silence.
If you must know, I've been insulted, Puck said.
By who?
By all of you, Puck cried. I have an impeccable reputation as a scoundrel. I have been banned by thousands of hamlets, hundreds of cities, dozens of countries, and 3 different dimensions. There are bounties on my head all over the planet, and on a few planets you've never heard of. I'm Puck, the Trickster King. I'm the mean and nasty emperor of pranksters. I'm the boy hero to nations of snickering layabouts. My kingdom is the wrong side of the tracks.
So?
Puck snarled. So? So I threw it all away to protect this family, and not one of you appreciates it. I'm ruined, and you have all turned your back on me for Uncle Jake. He'll save the family, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, stop being such a baby. Of course we care about you. Everyone cares about you, Sabrina said.
You care about me?
Don't let it go to your head, gas bag.
You're in love with me. I knew it.
Gross.
You want me to be your boyfriend, don't you?
Puck taunted. His wings suddenly popped out of his back, and he swooped over to Sabrina. Before she knew how to react, the boy kissed her on the lips. A 1,000,000 thoughts ran through Sabrina's head at once. Puck was annoying. He had dumped her in vats of disgusting glop. He'd put creepy crawlers in her bed. But the most awful thought of them all was the one about the kiss. It was nice. The two separated and stared at each other for a long time. Puck grinned and broke the silence.
I believe the words you are searching for are thank you.
And then Sabrina punched him in the belly. Puck hunched over, gasping for breath.
You try that again, you little freak, and you're going to need a dentist, Sabrina shouted.
She turned and stomped back down the path.
We're going out with Uncle Jake. Granny says you have to go. We're waiting in the car.
Sabrina found the door to Puck's room, opened it, and slammed it behind her. She leaned against the wood, feeling hot embarrassment on her face. Ever since she had started noticing boys, she had dreamed about her first kiss. She had imagined it would occur on the beach or in a flower garden with a nice boy who really liked her. She had never once, not even in her worst nightmares, thought the boy would be Puck. She couldn't believe her first kiss had been from a dirty, smelly ever after, surrounded by a bunch of screaming chimpanzee pyromaniacs. She rushed to the bathroom to see if her face looked different. Would anyone be able to tell what she and Puck had just done? She turned the water on, ran some soap over a washcloth, and scrubbed her face. When she was finished, her skin was as raw as when she had tried to scrub off Puck's mustache and goatee. She still looked flushed and embarrassed. By the time Sabrina got back downstairs, Daphne was tapping her foot by the door.
Where's Puck?
The little girl asked.
He's coming, Sabrina said, as she snatched her coat from the closet. Did you two kiss and make up?
Daphne asked. Though she couldn't see it, Sabrina was sure her face was as red as a tomato.
Come on, Uncle Jake is waiting, she said, and hurried outside with Daphne at her heels.
Uncle Jake was leaning against the family's rusty old jalopy. It hadn't moved an inch since Mr. Canis had died. Puck came out of the house to join them,
And when the boy fairy got close enough, Uncle Jake extended his hand. "Glad to have you along, Puck," he said sincerely. The boy sneered at the man and crawled into the back seat of the car. The girls followed, and the ancient car's shock absorbers groaned with complaint. Seeing Uncle Jake behind the wheel where Mr. Canis usually sat was strange to Sabrina. But when Uncle Jake inserted the key, something even stranger happened. The car didn't backfire. Every other time the girls had been in the car, it had started with an ear-shattering explosion that could be heard across town. Now it rumbled softly like a brand new automobile. Sabrina saw her own surprise reflected in her sister's face.
"How did you do that?" Daphne said.
"I have a way with women," Uncle Jake said, caressing the dusty dashboard. "Besides, this is my car. I left it here when I skipped town. Your father and I got into a lot of trouble in this car." He put the car in reverse and backed it out into the street, and soon they were tooling through the back roads of Ferryport Landing. What Sabrina had always thought of as the world's dullest town took on a whole new light when her uncle talked about it. Every mailbox, abandoned house, graffiti-covered bridge, and broken window had a story. The more the girls heard, the more it became clear that Uncle Jake and their straight-laced father had been first-class juvenile delinquents. As interesting as all the stories were, Sabrina found herself especially interested in the ones that had a magical element. The boys had cast a gigantic spell on the three blind mice and watched them stagger around the town. They had poured a rusting potion onto the Tin Woodsman and even found a way to give the old woman who lived in a shoe and her 1,000 kids athlete's foot. Jake and her father had done it all. Which made Puck's dislike of her uncle all the more puzzling. After all, the two had so much in common. Uncle Jake's stories were filled with mischief, but Puck was clearly unimpressed. He sat in the back seat with his arms crossed, acting as if he weren't paying attention. Sabrina and Daphne, on the other hand, had a wonderful time. Even the "A vote for heart is a vote for change" signs that had sprung up all over town couldn't cast a shadow on the trip. After a couple of hours of sightseeing, Uncle Jake made a turn that led up to the mountains. They drove for some time, then made a left on an abandoned gravel path and parked the car near a clearing.
"What are we doing here?"
Daphne asked, as everyone got out of the car. "I have to admit that this walk down memory lane was all just a trick to get you girls out of the house," Uncle Jake replied, leading the children to the center of the open field. "Mom doesn't want you two messing with the stuff in the Hall of Wonders, but I have a few goodies of my own. I'm going to teach you to use some of them. Puck, would you like to learn something, too?" Puck sneered.
"I know all I'm gonna."
Uncle Jake dug in his pockets and produced his wand of Merlin. He handed it to Daphne, but she refused to take it. Her uncle was surprised. "Wouldn't you like to have something that you can use to save your mom and dad and keep you and your sister safe? Your grandmother never has to know." Daphne shook her head.
"No, thank you."
Uncle Jake frowned and handed the wand to Sabrina. As soon as she touched it, she felt the familiar charge run through her body. It was exhilarating. "Looks like you're going to be the hero of this family. Okay, the name of the game with a magic wand is control. You want to be able to aim and concentrate all at once, 'cause the thing about monsters is they don't wait until you're ready. So every time you point this thing, know what you want, or someone could get hurt." Sabrina nodded, doing her best to avoid Daphne's disapproving glare. "So, you've seen how it works for garland and tinsel," Uncle Jake said. "Let's try something with a little more punch. Let's pretend those trees over there are the Jabberwocky. We need something really big to knock a Jabberwocky down. It could be anything, but let's try lightning. To get some lightning, think about the worst thunderstorm you've ever seen, a really scary one with fierce wind and rain." Sabrina closed her eyes to imagine the scenario and immediately remembered the night after her parents had disappeared. There had been a terrible thunderstorm right outside of their apartment windows. The girls had slept in their mom and dad's bed, hoping they'd come home soon. They never did. Now, aim and say, "Gimme some lightning!" When Sabrina opened her eyes, that same thunderstorm was building in the sky above her. There was static energy in the air that caused the hair on her arms to rise. She felt supercharged, like she was filled with enough power to do anything she could imagine, like there was nothing that could hurt her. All of her fears and worries about Red Riding Hood and the Jabberwocky faded away, and for the first time in a year and a half, she felt calm and confident. It was a sensation so incredible, she wondered if there was a way to feel it all the time. In an instant, a bolt of lightning plummeted to the earth and crashed into the bank of trees. They disappeared for a moment in a flash of brilliant white light, which was followed by an earth-shaking boom. When it was over, the trees were cracked in half. Many were on fire. "Nice shot, kiddo," Uncle Jake said. "I think you're a natural." "Could lightning kill the Jabberwocky?" Sabrina asked. She imagined unleashing the wand's power on the monster and smiled. "It won't kill it," Uncle Jake said. "But it would knock the ugly sucker off its feet, hopefully long enough to get your parents back." Just then, one of Puck's pixie minions zipped across the field. It stopped at Puck's ear and buzzed excitedly. Puck's eyes lit up and his wings popped out of his back. "There's someone in the woods watching us," he said as he lifted off the ground. "Looks like we're going to get a bit more practice," Uncle Jake said to the girls. "Come on." They all raced toward the forest and plunged into its thick brush. Sabrina quickly caught a glimpse of someone running far ahead, a man. His speed was superhuman, and she watched him leap effortlessly over a downed tree. Before they could get a good look at him, he was gone. "I'm going to follow him," Puck shouted, zipping into the woods. "Be careful," Sabrina shouted. "And what would be the fun in that?" the boy said, and disappeared into the forest. "He's just dumb enough to confront that guy," Sabrina said. "Nah, he wouldn't fight unless he had an audience. He'll be fine," Daphne said. "I hate to admit it, but he's a lot like your dad and me," Uncle Jake said. "I can see why Mom and you love him so much." "Love him? I don't love him. He's a pain in the butt," Sabrina shouted, a bit louder than she meant to. The group waited an hour and a half before they gave up on Puck. The boy could always fly home, so they got into the old car without him and cruised back down to the town. As they passed a diner, Uncle Jake slammed on the brakes and abruptly pulled into the parking lot. "This place is the best," he cried. Sabrina had spotted the Blue Plate Special several times since they had moved to Ferryport Landing. It was right next door to the Ferryport Landing post office and had a neon sign of a grinning waitress holding a bright blue tray of burgers and shakes. It was the kind of place her parents would have taken them to after a movie or a visit to the Central Park Zoo. Just looking at the sign made Sabrina's mouth water for the kind of old-fashioned egg cream her father had gotten her addicted to. That and a plate of cheese fries was a meal made for a king, even if it was made by witches and ogres. Granny had told her the Blue Plate Special Diner employed a lot of ever-afters. The inside of the restaurant was decorated for the holiday season, with little Christmas trees painted on the windows and long strands of garland hanging from the ceiling. There were booths along a bank of windows, personal jukeboxes at each table, and a counter at the front where people drank coffee and read the newspaper. A dessert case in the corner spun slowly, tempting diners with cheesecake dripping in strawberry sauce and chocolate parfaits. Overworked waitresses rushed from table to table, refilling coffees and shouting their odd diner speak to the short order cooks in the kitchen. The place smelled like hamburgers and mashed potatoes, and Sabrina knew everything would taste a little like chicken. She was in heaven. At a table at the far end of the restaurant sat Mr. Swinehart and Mr. Borman. They set down their coffee cups and waved to the group. The girls waved back and then slid into a booth near the door with Uncle Jake. They each snatched a menu from behind the ketchup caddy and scanned it eagerly.
I swear I'm going to eat everything on this menu, Daphne said. Who wants onion rings?
Uncle Jake didn't respond. He gazed around the room looking depressed.
Uncle Jake? Sabrina said.
We used to come here when I was a kid. Hank and I would collect old soda bottles and take them to Tweedledee and Tweedledum's convenience store for the deposits. Then we'd head over here and drink chocolate malteds all day. This was our booth. That waitress at the door? She owns this place. We used to drive her nuts, but she doesn't even recognize me. That man at the counter? He's the Scarecrow. He runs the town library. I owe him probably $40 in late fees. Over in that booth at the end of the table is the Cheshire Cat. We once watched a pit bull chase him up a tree. The fire department had to come and get him down. He called us a couple of no-good hooligans for laughing at him. Sabrina turned around. The man Uncle Jake was referring to was studying his menu. He had the biggest eyes and grin Sabrina had ever seen outside of a cartoon. But I've been erased, Uncle Jake sighed.
What did you do? Sabrina said.
He shifted uncomfortably in his chair. Something very, very stupid.
How y'all doing?
A waitress said as she bopped over to the table with a notepad and pencil in hand. She had a big, out-of-date hairdo, bright pink lipstick, and a name tag that read Farah.
What can I get ya?
She said, between chomps on her bubble gum. I'll have a grilled cheese with bacon and tomato, Uncle Jake said. You still make those fantastic chocolate malteds?
You bet we do, Farah said. Sounds like you've been here before.
A couple times, Uncle Jake sighed again.
And what about you, honey?
Farah said, turning to Sabrina. Waitresses in Manhattan were always calling her honey. It made her a little homesick. Sabrina read her order straight from the menu. Cheeseburger, medium, cheese fries with a side of brown gravy, and egg cream, and...
What you looking for, darling? Farah said.
Oh, I wish you had blueberry cobbler. There was a diner near our apartment that specialized in it. Most restaurants don't make it.
Well, we do.
Farah pointed to the bottom of the menu. Sabrina could have sworn it hadn't been there before, but at the end of the dessert list was blueberry cobbler in black and white.
Looks like you've got the four major food groups covered,
the waitress said with a playful wink.
How about you, short stuff?
I want chicken wings, some macaroni and cheese, and jalapeno poppers, Daphne said.
Farah jotted it down.
Then, for my main course, I would like one of those overstuffed Reuben sandwiches with extra Thousand Island dressing, a side of tater tots, a black and white milkshake, and a cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper.
Sweetie, there's no way you'll be able to eat all that, Farah laughed.
Oh, she'll eat it, Sabrina said. Back home, they call her the stomach.
Save me a slice of cheesecake, too,
Daphne added after she'd stuck out her tongue at her sister. Farah laughed, shoved her pencil behind her ear, and dashed to the back with the order. Suddenly, the door jingled, and a crowd of people entered the diner. Leading them was the Queen of Hearts and Sheriff Nottingham. The Queen called out a hello to everyone, while members of her entourage handed out Vote for Heart buttons. The Queen and the Sheriff went from table to table, shaking hands with people and asking for votes. Sabrina frowned, knowing it was just a matter of time before they got to their table.
Maybe we should leave, she said.
Leave? Daphne gasped. Do you know how long it has been since I had chicken wings?
No, this will be fun, Uncle Jake said, just as Mrs. Hart and Nottingham reached their table. Without even looking, the Queen took Uncle Jake's hand and shook it vigorously, while her handlers pinned campaign buttons on the girls without bothering to ask if it was okay.
"Hello, everyone. My name is Hart, and I'm running for mayor of Ferryport Landing," the woman said.
"Hello, Your Majesty," Uncle Jake said with a mischievous grin. The Queen's eyes quickly darted to their uncle's face and immediately flared with rage.
You!
She cried, yanking her hand away, as if she had just put it inside a hornet's nest.
Us, Daphne said.
How is the campaign going? Uncle Jake asked.
It's going just fine, thank you, Mrs. Hart seethed. Your assault on the community yesterday only helped get my point across. There's not enough room in this town for ever-afters and grims.
What an inspiring message of hope, Uncle Jake replied. Sheriff Nottingham limped over and grabbed Jake by the collar. He pulled him close to his angry face and barked,
Laugh now, boy, but when we're running this town, I promise you, I will personally squash your filthy vermin family under my boot heels.
Take your hands off my uncle, Sabrina said. Nottingham snarled,
Shut your gob, child, or I'll smack it off your face.
What does gob mean? Daphne asked. Sabrina shrugged, reached into her pocket, took out the wand, and aimed it at the sheriff.
Do you know what this is? She asked.
Nottingham stared at the wand.
I don't have the foggiest, he growled.
It's the wand of Merlin, Sabrina said, as she watched fear flash in Nottingham's eyes.
Sabrina smiled, but inside she struggled with an overwhelming urge to zap the man with a shot of lightning.
You're bluffing, Nottingham said.
Is she? Uncle Jake said. Nottingham slowly let Jake go and stepped back from the table, but Sabrina kept pointing the wand at him. She had power for once, and it felt good to let the bad guys know it. Just then, there was an enormous thump that knocked the ketchup bottle off the table. It was followed by another, the source of which seemed to be coming from outside. Everyone turned to look out at the parking lot where a car suddenly flipped over and went flying into another. A moment later, a second car got the same destructive treatment. Farah returned with a tray of food and set the edge of it on the table.
Chow time,
she sang cheerily, but her voice trailed off when she saw the destruction through the window.
Oh, my.
What is that, Nottingham?
The Queen demanded. The would-be sheriff pointed out the window.
I think it's her.
Little Red Riding Hood came into view. She skipped through the parking lot like a happy schoolgirl, holding a leash on the end of which walked her monstrous reptilian playmate. The two demented creatures were coming straight for the diner.
There's no cause for alarm, Nottingham said confidently, just as the rest of the diners leaped from their seats and hid under the tables.
An older gentleman jumped from his chair at the counter and knocked into Farah, who spilled the family's meals all over the floor. The girls tumbled out of the booth, and Sabrina's wand slipped from her hand and rolled to the other side of the room. Nottingham opened his coat and pulled a serpentine sword from a scabbard strapped around his waist. He pointed it at the Jabberwocky, but it made no impression on the beast. The hulking brute grabbed the front wall of the diner and tore it away, as if it were paper. Then the creature poked its gruesome head into the hole, mere inches away from Sabrina and Daphne. It stuck out its long tongue and flicked it around, as if it was tasting the fear in the room.
Jabberwocky!
The monster cried.